Shop the Sherwin-Williams sale and get 30% off Duration, Woodscapes, and SuperDeck products May 1st through the 11th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
True Crimers, welcome to Break the Case. I'm your host. I'm Jen Coffendaffer. Coming in a little early this morning. Did a lot of preparation this morning for this segment based on a lot of information that, again, is floating around. And I'm hopefully going to set the record straight on several items. I think it's really important, and I had to go back and look and double check some items. I've got a lot of video we're going to go through today because I think it's really important to understand what's been said and what has not been said in the Nancy Guthrie case. We are going to, again, be deep diving the Nancy Guthrie case. We do it every morning on what I call the morning report. And today is no different, even though it's a Saturday. Hope to have a lot of you here today. I feel like it's a day where at least some of you aren't working, and maybe you can join us with your cup of coffee and just join us as we discuss this case again. Again, Nancy went missing on February 1st. Specifically in the dead of night. The Ring camera at her home, actually it was a Nest camera, was yanked off her front porch at about 1:47 in the morning. And then at 2:12, one of her other cameras saw somebody on the side of the house. And then at 2:28, her pacemaker disconnected from her device that normally monitors. She wears a little watch, and people who wear pacemakers, they do that. So things are monitored. It actually goes back via Bluetooth. And this way, her physician and it can be monitored remotely. But that's only if you are in proximity to the device that's actually transmitting the information. So as far as how proximal, certainly within several feet, it works perfectly. I've read reports up to you can be 10, 12 feet away, and even further away. A lot of it depends on obstruction in terms of if do you have a brick wall between it, that's a definite disconnect. So we know at some point she got far enough away that it was not able to connect. And so that, of course, we believe to be the time that she was sort of whisked away from her bed area. I want to talk, first of all, I'm just going to come in hot here and open up with this new reporting. We talked about it yesterday, but I'm just seeing it get blown up on the airwaves. So I think it's really worthwhile to discuss it in depth because there's a lot of takeaways from it. Here we go. Going to bring it up on the stage.
It got to the point where once they didn't find her in the area, combined with the blood on the stoop.
Sure, I get this beginning. Okay, here we go. So this is a head of the union, or part of the head of the union. He's a sheriff's officer. And I'll stop there.
It's hard to blame the searchers because the family was pretty insistent that this was a walk.
But he says it's hard to blame the searchers here. So he's talking, and he's talking about how it's hard to blame the searchers. Well, I'm not exactly sure what he meant by that. I don't think anybody is blaming the searchers. The searchers should have been there. And I pointed this out before, whether you are searching because you believe somebody is deceased or because somebody walked away or because somebody's being abducted, you must canvass that area whenever anybody's missing. You use dogs, you use drones, you use all your available assets, aerial and so forth. And that, according to the sheriff's office and according to footage I've seen with my own eyes, was done. Even CPB, the Customs and Border Patrol dogs, were actually called in as well. So This was not a circumstance. When somebody goes missing, the number one thing you do is search. You start in the middle and you search out. And actually, I do have the search grid that was searched. If you just give me 1 second, and I will apologize in advance about any clicking. Some people have, I actually listened back to the clicking. I didn't think it was near as bad as I had anticipated. But again, I just have not had the time to do the shopping I need to do to get one of those mics that you can plug in. I have one, but it works so much worse than this mic. That mic actually is not a very good mic, even though it's one of those fancy Shure mics. So I'm going to have to get a different mic. But nevertheless, I just wanted to show you, and I know I have this down here. I want to show you the actual search grid that was done via aerial, foot, canine, every which way was done early on in the investigation. And I think it's really critical to point this out because I couldn't make really heads or tails of what this guy was saying, particularly when he talked about the fact that nobody should blame the searchers. As far as I know, no one is blaming the searchers for anything. No matter what, as I said, when you have a person that goes missing, you must search that immediate area. And you must search for, even if you think they're abducted, because often abductors will discard a body close by. Often an abductor will keep a person close by. Often an abductor will leave a trace of indicia of the crime proximal to the area where they took the person. That is just facts. So to do a search not only for Nancy, but for any indicia of the crime was the proper thing to do. And I don't know anybody pointing out that for some reason that should not have been done. I am really having trouble finding this search grid. Should have put that in my library. I'm sorry, I'm not going to get too distracted on it. But nevertheless, in the news conference that was held on day one, which I watched this morning twice, they show it up there. And I actually had taken a picture. I'm afraid I must have put it on Twitter as opposed to here. But nevertheless, the search grid, it shows a really expansive area with Nancy's house in the middle, and then different lines that are written to show whether it was aerial, where the dogs went, where people on foot, where the volunteers were, as opposed to the Pima County or other professional search and rescue folks. So I just want to make it clear that they searched certainly the day she went missing into the night. That is what Pima County says. And I can see that with my own eyes. I know that they searched them. So I just wanted to make it clear that the area was searched. It should have been searched. So I can't imagine anybody making any negative remarks about the search other than the fact that Sheriff Nanos called the search off within 48 hours. And actually, I got to tell you, I think it was called off even earlier than that because they had searched into the night and then he stopped. And the next day I listened to that press conference, which again was the first one. And then I have on here for you guys to listen to the second press conference. All of this information I think is important for what we can get. Here we go. I'm going to actually start this all over. Again, this was an interview Brian Enten did with a Pima County officer who was also part of the union. Now, remember, the new union received 100% no confidence vote in Sheriff Nanos. This guy is a Sheriff Nanos hater. Let's just call it for what it is. He doesn't mince words. And he very, very much despises Nanos. Why do I say this? All of this is important. I think he was one of the original sources that was saying things, and now he's actually coming to talk about it. But essentially, y'all, when I'm looking at information and I'm saying who is delivering the information, do they have any ulterior motives? In other words, say Sheriff Nanos is gone. Is this person going to be elevated? You know, why is he saying what he's saying? Because I'm having a lot of problems with what he's saying. I'm going to start it all over.
Again, it's hard to blame the searchers because the family was pretty insistent that this was a walkaway as well.
Okay. Again, anytime, and I apologize. I should say fully his name. His name is Aaron Cross. He's a sergeant. He has definitely been interviewed by multiple people. He's kind of front and center in this deal, putting himself out there as sort of having information about this investigation. But if you listen closely, he's definitely not involved in the investigation at all. And he says that. Okay, you ready? We're going to start again.
Again, it's hard to blame the searchers because...
So we don't understand why he makes this comment about blaming the searchers. Again, no matter the situation with a missing person, you must do a search. You're not just searching for the person, you're searching for everything. Okay? And then he makes this weird comment, and this is the one that kind of everybody's talking about.
The family was pretty insistent that this was...
The family was pretty insistent. We're going to go through a lot of information that shows that is not true.
A walk away as well. And so they were doing what they were trying to do and searching, looking for Nancy. And
if they were a good search crew, it wasn't just about, as I said, looking for Nancy. If you're doing this case right, you're looking for any indicia of the crime, anything that could have been used to commit the crime. You're looking for tire tracks. You're looking for anything somebody could have dropped. You're looking for, obviously, you want to find Nancy, but you're also looking for, could this have been, you know, any evidence? I mean, at this point, everybody saw blood. At this point, everybody saw the Nest camera ripped off. At this point, people saw the doors open. This was pretty much an obvious situation of somebody not going in their will. She didn't have her medicine with her. She didn't bring her Apple Watch. She was in her 90. She didn't have shoes. I realize that some of this came forward in the ransom notes, but I can tell you this is something that Annie and Tomasa would know. For any of you who have taken care of an elderly parent, and when I say taken care, I don't only mean that you know, you're responsible for somebody taking care of them and getting their lawn mode. I'm talking about you physically have interaction and you take care of them, especially somebody who has severe chronic back pain and are bending over. You know that you help them and you actually come to know what they wear. When I took care of my mom from mid-July until she passed October 2nd, I know exactly what jammies she always wore and what her little night slippers were like and where her things were. She was a person of very limited means and, you know, a very old-fashioned person, very organized person, very much like Nancy, very much from that era. Although, you know, my mom passed at 60, 62, I believe, was her exact age, very young. But nevertheless, that same vintage, born similar years. And I can tell you as a caretaker, and Annie and Tomasa would have known, where is her pink nightie that she wears or her yellow nightie or her bed slippers? They're not where they're supposed to be. Her shoes are accounted for. They would know this early on. Savannah might even know this as close as they were even living in New York. So this was something known very early on. And also there were huge limitations, but I want to go on and finish with what this guy has to say.
I believe it it got to the point where once they didn't find her in the area, combined with the blood on the stoop, that's when it's everybody kind of decided, all right, we have something else here.
Now, again, he's talking about what everybody else decided, because you know what? He wasn't there. That is the biggest thing. Anytime you are talking about, anytime you are making, let me put it this way, allegations regarding what has happened, what a family member said, what they didn't say, what's going on in the investigation. If you are not there, you are literally getting it from somebody else that may or may not have been there. We don't even know that. It sounds like, as he goes on, and I'll give you some snippets, it sounds like he's sort of trying to figure things out and trying to put together what was said and what wasn't said. It's really odd. Here we go.
So see, what I heard was the opposite, that the family was pushing them to say, look, it's not a walk away. And that the investigators in the very beginning were considering it a walk away, but the family was having to remind them over and over again, like, no, you know, she wouldn't just walk away. She's in bad health. And she doesn't have cognitive issues. That's what I've heard.
Yeah, that's not the information that I gathered today.
What did you get?
See, that is not the information I gathered today. To me, this is the most important thing he's saying. And believe me, everyone in chat, I love what you have to say. I think it's important to look at things from all angles. But I really dissected this. And this is the biggest thing he says. This is the biggest reason that what he says should be looked at not as the lens of he was there, he was making decisions, he helped in the search, he was on scene, he knows from insider information. No. This is somebody that is listening to things. He's gathering the information. He's trying to call people. And he's not working it by his own admissions. By his own admissions. He has friends telling him. So friends, what friends? Are they friends that are working inside? Anyway, I was just personally, I was disappointed to see that somebody within the sheriff's office is at this really important time in the investigation that this person is saying he's gathering information and that he has decided from the information he has gathered that the family said, insisted upon, actually, I think they're the words he used, insisted upon that insisted upon that the family says that she walked away. So anyway, I'm just, you know, for those, and I see you guys kind of bashing me in here, I'm really not being ridiculous. I understand he works there, but he's on the outs there. He's on the outs there. And it's not me saying he wasn't there. It's not me. It's him saying this.
Listen. That's what I've heard.
Yeah, that's not the information that I gathered today.
So today he worked on gathering information, and which was yesterday. I have a problem with this, but I'm going to tell you, I want to say it from a larger vantage. This is what is concerning to me. And we're going to see it whenever Porch Guy is hopefully found. All of this infighting, fighting between, you know, between Cash Patel coming out and saying what he said, Mr. Cross coming out and saying what he's saying, Sheriff Nanos coming out and saying what he's saying, Select Board, all of this is basically ruining the case for adjudication down the road. These are definite issues that he is leading and many others are leading that are upset about what's happening within his department. And this case has become the springboard for launching Nanos. Now, I'm not trying to say that there aren't any issues. I'm not trying to say there aren't any issues with Nanos. I think I've spoken pretty strongly about what we see, if it's factually or not. What I am saying is when you start creating a narrative for your own reasons. I mean, this is what I want to see. I'm curious as to what happens when Sheriff Nanos will be out at least 3 years from now, unless he wins another election. He's already run two elections. But because of all of this, if what happened in Idaho serves to be correct, there was a lot of issues that people had with Chief Fry, even though I personally really like Chief Fry, and I think he really did a good job and tried extremely hard. But what my point is that all of this public going, I have never seen this, guys. I can't imagine an FBI agent working. You don't see any FBI agents that are working, that are currently now working, that are in Tucson or in Phoenix, which is the headquarters for Tucson. You are not going to see agents, current agents, coming on, even if they disagree with Kash Patel, even if they disagree with their management, even if they disagree with Pima County. You're just not going to see these dirty laundry, all of these narratives coming forward from the Bureau. It's just not going to happen. What this guy is doing is he's basically taking, because he works there, right? He has some friends, and some of those friends may or may not, right? Remember, Sheriff Nanos seemed to handpick who would be involved in this investigation. We know there's only 24 total people. We don't know what percentage of that is from Pima County, what percentage is the FBI, and what percentage are CBP and all the other agencies that are going to be on a task force. But we know, if you believe ABC's reporting, that there are 24 people currently assigned to the case. That's it. Not the 400 like before, not the 100. And what I'm trying to say is all of this sickens me. To have people within the department being so short-sighted that they can't see what this will do to the adjudication of this case. And how, unfortunately, instead of talking about Nancy and what we can do and everything, what we are seeing now is just a bunch of these guys who hate him going on TV and, you know, going on different shows and talking horribly about, not only about the investigation, that's fine, I understand. We've all had our views on searches and other things. But now he has crossed the line when now you are talking about, and again, it's the telephone game. He wasn't there, but he's hearing from somebody else. So just remember what happens whenever somebody says something and then they tell you, and you don't even know if this is a task force person or if this was a person that was there in the house at the beginning of the case. There in the house in the beginning of the case. If it's through one or more people, it doesn't matter. He wasn't there. And he is saying that initially the family insisted that she walked away. That does not comport with, first of all, any information we've ever heard. And I'm going to show you a lot of different things. And it also, I just think, is a very wrong to do that. Even if you know that, I'm going to tell you, I know some things. And I'll never say them. Because, you know, at the end of the day, too, just for everybody, and I know you know this, there's body-worn camera. Back in 2023, the Pima County Sheriff's Officer employed the body-worn camera. They started it in 2021, but they had to get funding. It's millions of dollars. It's going to be paid off in over 10 years, I guess. Anyway, they, anytime you're intersecting with the public, you have to, anytime it's intersecting with the public, you have to have your body-worn camera on. So this is the really good news. Because we're going to know. We're going to see it, and it might be redacted like we've seen in Idaho and in the Magnolia JLR case, but we're going to be able to see it at some point, what the discussions were with the family. And listen, you heard it here first. There will be lawsuits out of this thing. I believe. I believe there'll be lawsuits out of this narrative. Not this narrative, out of the overall accusatory things, maybe even, you know, other things, but this I see civil things. And this guy better be right when it comes to body worn camera. That the family insisted that she was a walk away. Why does that hurt the investigation? Mr. Cross is essentially continues to bring out information that is not known to the public, that may or may not even be true because it's hearsay. It's complete hearsay. That's why it's not ever allowed in court. You can never have anything allowed in court. And basically trying to discredit the investigation from its inception. So basically saying his point here is the family insisted upon it. So for that reason, they searched. It's never the case. Whenever you go in with a missing case, if you're an investigator worth their salt, you take the totality of what you see. But I can tell you, no matter what, you start search grids right away. It doesn't matter what kind of a case it is. It can be a homicide case. It can be an abduction case. It can be a wanderer. That's what you do. You have to start there when you have a missing persons case. You should treat the crime or you should treat the scene like a homicide. That was not done here. Many of us have talked about that from the outside. We know that because of what has been said and what we saw with our own eyes. I mean, you had the CBP guy throw Nancy's shirt on the bush. You had the, you know, the mat left behind. You had Savannah Guthrie, who was there that first day. I've got that press conference I'm going to do. It's not about this. Somebody wrote in here. Let me see. Happy Saturday from Scotland. Oh, good. Adrian, good to see you. Appreciate you being here. By the way, the mom that adopted me, and I'm going to sidetrack just for a second. We are on Saturday morning, so let's have some levity here, was McConaughey. So I do not have Scottish roots, but the people who adopted me, my mother who adopted me, she's McConaughey and very Scottish, you know, when she died, we did the bagpipes. I still have our Scottish plaid on her, a little shawl that she had. So we have that nexus there. Let me look here. This is Kelly. The family called hospitals, so that lines up with them thinking that. You know, Kelly, in regard to that, calling hospitals, that's, I agree with you that they said they called the hospitals and but my understanding was that they thought that she not walked away, but rather that she had a medical event and that those doors were open for ambulance workers to come in and take her out. That was my understanding. In fact, and we're going to play the clip, Savannah says she couldn't walk more than 50 yards. She makes it critically clear, and she attributes a lot of this to Annie and Tommy. That's what she calls Tommaso, Tommy. And I want to make it clear, I don't have an agenda. I don't have an agenda. My agenda is putting forth facts and trying to find truth in all the cases. As far as not believing the families involved, the biggest reason that I believe that is because law enforcement has come out and said that.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams sale and get 30% off Duration, Woodscapes, and SuperDeck products May 1st through the 11th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Nevertheless, we're talking today about how all the infighting and the people with their own hatred and their own agendas, I think, are coming out and talking about cases or facts and things within this case or purported facts that they're hearing through others, hearsay. 50 feet. Sorry, everyone, 50 feet. We're going to hear it straight out of her mouth. I have that clip here. All right, here we go.
If you don't mind explaining a little more, what did you hear today?
Just that the family believed that she was out there.
So again, what did you hear today? I mean, we're 90 days into this. You know, we're 90 days in. I just feel bad. I feel bad. Let me see. It's not just him too. I'm not trying to pick on him. Today I listened to all of Nanos again. He says something one time definitively. And then on another one, I saw he says something definitive the other way. You know, it is what it is. To me, he's not a good communicator. But all the people coming out and ripping the case apart. Fine, if you want to rip Nanos apart, rip Nanos apart. We know you guys hate him. We know you want him out. And we know also likely you're going to benefit. Have any of you guys listened to Robin Drake? I love Robin Drake. For those of you who don't know him, he now is the co-host with Tony Bruschi on Hidden Killers. Former FBI, we were in the FBI, a lot of our path, we overlapped in terms of time, not in terms of what we did. I did violent crime, organized crime, gangs. This is my bailiwick, criminal. His side of things was counterterrorism, counterintelligence, particularly related to Russian and recruitment of spies and things like that. That was his bailiwick. Everyone in the Bureau has what they did, and everybody is different. So I do want to make this clear that some people become public corruption experts. Some people become organized crime, violent crime, gangs, drugs, because that's typically when you work out of the offices in the FBI, you get assigned to a squad and you get assigned typically based on your background. Were you a banker? Are you an accountant? Are you an attorney? What is your educational background that puts you into a particular place, and what's your interest? And you typically stay there. I've seen very few people, in other words, go from white collar crime and say, oh, I think I want to work violent crime. I want to work crime against children. I want to work. You stay with what you have a passion for and you want to work. There are some people, and I'm included in this, that work in RAs. And unless you're in a big RA like Tucson's a big RA, or for instance, I worked out of several RAs because divisionally, I love RAs. For instance, I worked in the U.S. Virgin Islands as SSRA, and that is an RA out of San Juan. I worked in Fort Worth, never in Dallas. That's a resident agency out of San Juan. Why am I making this point? Because when you're an RA, you have a region you cover. So that means you become a jack of all trades. You do everything. If a reservation is in your region, you're going to work reservation crime. If the ocean is in your region, you're going to work cruise ships. If a major airport, you're going to work airport crime. You become more of a jack of all trades, I would call it. And then when I was in Houston, I was actually in the main office and I was assigned to organized crime. So that's what I worked for almost all of 9 years. When I first got in, I was on a white collar, what we call a AO lead squad, which again is a jack of all trades. When a lead comes in from another office, you run it down. In other words, Houston, arrest so-and-so. Houston, we need a search warrant here. Houston, we need this done pertaining to our case. We need this person interviewed. We need these subpoenas served. That is what I did for about the first 9 months. And then I luckily begged a supervisor. He hadn't had any women on his squad at that point, and he let me on his squad, and he was amazing. He was like a father to me. I've talked about him a lot here. And Dick Ludwig taught me everything I know. A Hooverite, sadly, took his life after 9/11. Very sad. Nevertheless, I don't want to digress. I'm just trying to say that what I'm hearing here is hearsay, and what I'm hearing here is political.
No, that she'd walked away.
Right, in the very beginning?
Correct.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, that's a new development. That's different than what we've heard in the past. And I guess...
All right, so I'm going to play it one more time for everybody. And you know, I guess some people aren't happy that I'm doing this segment. A few, I see a couple thoughts in here. I'm doing this segment because the case is off of, to me, what we should be discussing. I understand having to discuss a little bit about management and leadership. You know, when Kash Patel came out, obviously we had to discuss it. You know, when Nanos comes out and says something, it's important to discuss it. All of these guys, and I know, like I said, I've seen this guy all over the place, and multiple other people that I think started behind the curtain as sources, and now they're like, well, I guess I'll just come out. You'll never see an FBI agent do this, ever, because we don't do anything to sabotage a case. We work the facts. We're not going to get caught up in all of that. I'm just stunned. Fine, the retired guys that are coming out on Pima County saying, I hated Danos, he should have never been in, the Board of Supervisors, everything. I understand. I do not understand current officers that have nothing to do with the case. This is a big department. He has nothing to do with the case. He's got some apparently buddies that are telling him, or a buddy of a buddy. We don't know. I just think it's wrong for the infighting to be splashed all over, like it's a National Enquirer case instead of a case about Nancy Guthrie. Let's see. Well, at this point, I don't trust anything this law enforcement office has said or done. I just don't get it. I think this office is so broken. You know, I think it's so broken. And I talked about this with Cracks. Everybody said, well, what does it really hurt, you know, that everybody's talking badly about Nanos? This is exactly what it hurts. It hurts the department, including Mr. Cross, have faith in their leadership overall, right? Sheriff Nanos is his overall leader, but I don't have any idea where Cross is working. Is he the one that there's so many that have come out? Is he the one that's has good experience, but is sitting behind a desk? I think they said something like, following up on calls about lost kittens or something. I think that was a joke that somebody made, but this is just my opinion. FBI agents, current officers should not be deep diving into any facts or hearsay regarding this case. It only hurts the case. Nothing positive. if he wants to talk about this in terms of keeping his log and, you know, and having his case, I get that. You got to, because obviously this guy is angry. But we're going to listen one more time. I'll just listen straight through without any commentary.
But again, it's hard to blame the searchers because the family was pretty insistent that this was a walk away as well. And so they were doing what they were trained to do and searching, looking for Nancy. And I believe it got to the point where once they didn't find her in the area, combined with the blood on the stoop, that's when it's everybody kind of decided, all right, we have something else here.
So see, what I heard was the opposite, that the family was pushing them to say, look, it's not a walk away. And that, the investigators in the very beginning were considering it a walk away, but the family was having to remind them over and over again, like, no, you know, she wouldn't just walk away. She's in bad health. And she doesn't have cognitive issues. That's what I've heard.
Yeah, that's not the information that I gathered today.
What did you, if you don't mind explaining a little more, what did you hear today?
Just that the family believed that she was out there, you know, that she'd walked away.
Right, in the very beginning?
Correct.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, that's a new development. That's different than what we've heard in the past. And I guess...
Oh, sorry. Okay, yeah, that's the end. Yeah, guys, so, you know, at the end of the day, I understand creators wanting to interview anybody they can get their hands on because there's not information out there. So I understand that. It's, to me, I don't look at when people, reporters, creators try to get these interviews. That's their job. That's their job. I personally don't dive into, I mean, there's no way I would ever ask this person on. I don't, that's just not what my platform does. I like to have people on that are in law enforcement, that are psychologists, psychiatrists, that are profilers, love to have them. I love to have on people who are experts. Like I had the Bitcoin expert on. I've had the founder of genetic genealogy on. I'm going to start having some creators on. I've had Brian Inton on, and those are different discussions, right? They're kind of like, hey, what was, you know, your obstacle you might have had or whatever, because he's reporting. And his job is to try to get these types of interviews. And that's what he should be doing. Somebody had just asked me that. So I don't fault anyone. I mean, this guy's been everywhere, you know? I don't fault anyone but I understand it. And I understand this is all hearsay. I understand he's on the outs. He has some friends, likely not the people working the case because, well, we don't know that. I can just tell that's not what I gathered. That's not what I heard today. Guys, we're almost 100 days in. And he's doing this little, you know, investigation now. Anyway, I think both could be true in chaos and stress of the first few hours. Family saying at one moment she walked away and then pivoting a few minutes later that someone must have taken her. Absolutely. Look, absolutely. I think this is a really good view. I think really, what would you think? If this were my family member, the first thing I would think is, I bet they walked away. That's probably the first thing I would think. Because remember, when they get the call, it's 11 in the morning. This is really critical. It's 11 in the morning, meaning Tommy and Annie. They get the call from the church group. Yeah, and you know, I'm going to tangent on this again. The church group, they're keeping quiet. They're not talking because they don't want to later have anything they said. This is what I always tell people. Whenever I interviewed somebody that was involved in the case, I always said this. Please, if you could just keep your comments to the FBI, to the investigators investigating the case. please don't talk to media. Please don't talk to anybody. Because what will happen is you told me this, and then it'll get to a neighbor and then to another neighbor, and we're at the televote game. And now, instead of Mary disappeared at 9 o'clock, the last time I saw her was on the lawn, it will be Susie disappeared at 12 o'clock that night, and I saw her in the fruit market. You can do the game. It works every time. And the other problem is the minute you have multiple statements by one person, each time they speak, they might add a little something, they might subtract a little something, they might remember something different. As time goes on, they might not remember at all. And then it gets misconstrued. So for the integrity of the case, you hope that witnesses are committed to the big picture. And that is, at some point when Porch Guy is arrested, at some point that you hope that that case is intact. So I believe definitely initially a family member could think that. And then remember, they talked about how, and we're going to play all these too, what the family said. And then they talked about calling. Savannah says, I called from where I was at. They were calling. Are you calling? Calling regarding whether individuals were contacted at hospitals and ambulance services, because they thought, based on the doors being open, that she could have been taken out that way and not have time to call. And remember, again, they found out at 11-ish, around noon-ish, they made the 911 call. We don't have that 911 call. But my point is on this, that if you find out at 11, you could literally think your mom went on a walk. Or your mom walked out past her pool because she saw something cool out there. I mean, she's lived there 50 years. She was very comfortable. And that perhaps she collapsed. And basically in a time frame between maybe 6, 7 in the morning, when somebody could have gotten up, and 11, that's 4 or 5 hours, that she could have been drug off or something horrible could have happened accidentally. It makes all the sense in the world that a family would have an initial response of that. But to blame the search parties being called out because the family insisted, that just doesn't comport with what we've known. Let me read this. And I take both sides in. I just want you all to know, I appreciate you having a comment here. I'm disappointed in Sergeant Cross. He should not be publicly revealing info about the case. I guess his hatred for Nanos impacts his judgment. Hearsay. You got my point completely. When you start disliking somebody so much that you are willing to talk about what you heard from somebody who heard from somebody in your department that's actually working or worked on the case or was there at that moment, and other things he said, it's a problem. That's how I see it. All right, let's see what Savannah says.
An 84-year-old woman in the dead of night in her pajamas, with no shoes, without her medicine. This little person. This isn't that case that you are used to, where someone wanders off. She can't wander off. Her phone was there, and her purse was there, and all her things. Yeah. And the doors were popped open.
Yeah.
And there was blood on the front doorstep. And the Ring camera had been yanked off.
Yeah.
I think my brother, he said, I think she's been kidnapped for ransom. I didn't want to believe. I just said, because of me, to think that I brought this to her bedside, just too much to bear. And I just say, I'm so sorry, Mommy. I'm so sorry.
I know that's hard to listen to. This is another clip. Those are a couple clips fed together.
I mean, from the very early moments, you know, Annie and Tommy were saying, this isn't that case that you are used to, where someone wanders off. She can't wander off.
Mm-hmm. You know, they know she can't wander off. There's another one where she says exactly how far she can go. Let me make sure this isn't it.
Hmm. and it is unthinkable. But those thoughts demand to be thought.
Yeah.
And I will not hide my face. But she needs to come home now.
Yes.
Sorry, that was another clip I had pulled. Apologies. All right. I wanted to play those for you. Let me put up a couple of more comments that I see. Yes, totally agree with you. She had a routine. Annie and Tommy would have known. Tommaso. I call him Tommy now in and out because that's how they refer to him. I mean, obviously that's the name he used and everything, but his legal name, his official name is Tommaso Cioni. Kunk, I think this is good. Absolutely, you shut the doors. Absolutely. I worked on the box during my medic training when I became a tactical medic for as a auxiliary of the auxiliary when I was on the SWAT team. I also wanted to have that. So I did that back in 2003. And I keep my certification up, which is a pain. And you always shut the door. I can't think of one call I ever went into where we took somebody out. We just said, oh, we're going to leave everything open. No, you shut the door. But that doesn't mean that this family couldn't have thought that, because they're wanting to think the best. Oh, she's getting medical treatment. Oh, she's, you know, someplace. So, but absolutely, I wanted to put this up and I wanted to say thank you for your, what you did as a paramedic. I tell you, the people that I trained with, I trained at Methodist Hospital in Dallas for 6 months and did my rotations at the Redbird fire station with Lieutenant Pig. That was really his name. It was one of the most memorable and wonderful 6 months of training that I've received, I have to say. And those people, you know, I was working at the FBI and just going to use it to supplement my ability to contribute to the FBI SWAT team I was on. These people went out that I trained with for $12 an hour. That's what they were making at that time. Responsible for saving people's lives and the horrible things you see. My first call was a stabbing. That was the very first one that I went to as a medic in training. And I tell you what, for $12 an hour, these people have so much commitment. And so I just want to thank you, Conk One, because it's a tough job, one of the toughest there is, and sorely underpaid in my opinion, because it probably still is. This is from Kelly Roberts. Yeah, it's just, it's textbook. It's disappointing. Like I said, for the retired guys, talk away. But to be reporting hearsay on what you hear inside of an ongoing investigation, I mean, as an FBI agent, we would probably be fired. But it sounds like this guy's in trouble anyway. I know he's one of the guys that, because of the how it's been reported, is the wrath of Nanos came down on him, and he's, you know, a very experienced person that has his ability to investigate been taken away from him, Mr. Cross. But I got to tell you, was he talking before about ongoing investigations? Is that how he got in trouble? I don't know. I'm just watching it play out here. He's talking about ongoing investigations from purported inside information from the people who actually know in the department about particular details as to why searches were conducted and what the family was saying. Remember, Annie and Tommaso are two of them going to be, if this case is adjudicated, they're going to probably be the first two up on the stand if they decide to do a chronological presentation during trial. And this guy's going to be saying, or is on record saying, of course it's all hearsay, so nothing he says would ever be allowed in. But just not what I see. You get fired for doing that in the Bureau, I assure you. Let me see, I'm just going through these. I just want to make sure I haven't missed any others. here. Let me just double check. Going through these really quick. Okay, I think I'm caught up. All right. I want to go over a couple things. Sheriff Nano says this is his second press conference. His first press conference, there was so much that I wanted to put on, and it's really long, so I didn't put it on. But a lot of the things, a lot of the things that he has to say about the case in the first press conference, he actually gets political too. He basically talks about, he spends at least a couple of minutes talking about his haters and about how in the first press conference, and about how, you know, they need to use technology to help solve the case and that other people don't want that, blah, blah, blah. So essentially, he digresses from the very beginning, Nanos does, which I don't appreciate. But there's a couple things he says in the first one, and then we'll go on to two others that I have recorded. One of the things Sheriff Nano says in the first press conference is he says that the digital evidence he gave over to the FBI early. I got to tell you, I had forgotten that. Please go back and listen to it. It's on the second. And I, you know what? Actually, I will make sure to put a link in the comments, or when this goes to YouTube, I'll put the link there, because I want you to take a look at it, because there were a couple things I forgot. A couple things from the beginning too. For instance, he makes these words, Sheriff Nano says this, and I'll link it so you can watch it. He says, he's walking up to the podium and he's reading. You know, he's like this, he's got his head buried and he's reading. And he kind of makes this statement, not to anybody, but it's overheard by the cameras, and a lot is being made about this too. He basically says that he has some talking points for the family. He has points for the family. And then secondarily to that, he says he has talking points for the family, and he says, oh, I hate to read from a script. A lot of people are saying that the family was trying to script what he had to say in his first press conference. Now, I'm going to tell you my take. So that's a take from a lot of people. Oh, see, he was reading. They gave him a script because there were talking points for the family. He says for the family. Not from the family, he says for the family. But I'm going to let you each read it, because I want you to be able to make your own assertions and your own decisions on what he was doing. But it looks like he's literally, they have written a script for him, not the family, but somebody, this is how I took it, his office has written a script for him. And he's trying to kind of memorize it, and he notes on there, yeah, he has some things he notes or points he needs to, bullet points for the family he needs to make. And then he gets up there and he says, well, you know what? I talk off the cuff. I can't follow any scripts. And he puts the thing down. It might have even been his phone he was staring at. But anyway, that, please watch that first press conference, because a lot is being made about that, that the family was telling him what to say. And that isn't what I see there. He says four. There's some bullet points I need to make for the family, and then you could see he's trying to memorize some script, and he's like, oh, forget that. I think that's somebody else would have written. But nevertheless, here we go. I'm going to put him on stage. This is his second press conference.
One of the things people don't see, I heard your question about.
He started at the beginning.
After Monday's investigation and really opening access to that property to everyone else, was that something you would do differently looking back, knowing that, you know, federal authorities also conducted a search yesterday? Would you have kept that perimeter up knowing that?
You know, Monday morning quarterback, I probably would have, but I'll say this. We processed the scene. We got what we thought was complete. My team did that. I have to have all the faith and trust in their abilities and their skills, and I think they went through that pretty well. But because another agency now steps in and wants to assist, if they, we're just like with you, we're an open book. Absolutely. How can we help? One of the things people don't see, I heard your question about, you know, and we left and then others could walk up. You know, when we process a scene and we're done, we return that scene to the, in this case, the homeowners, the family. And we don't just go march back in there. We call the family again and get permissions to go back to the home. So, yeah, there's, again, Monday morning quarterback, absolutely. I probably could have held off on that. We knew.
I heard that. And I remember him doing this. You know, he knows he screwed up. And literally, I don't think he even made the call. I think his crime scene folks called him late into the night and said, you know what? We're done here. And he trusted them. And so he said, oh, okay. And he talks about how he gives it back and that he thinks he made it, you know, it was a mistake. And it was a mistake. So he even admits that. I've played this before and you might have heard this before, but I'm bringing this back up because of all the things he discusses here that I think are pertinent.
That the FBI, we've worked with them before in a lot of cases, and we felt like they could be of help in this with particularly the forensic analysis we use in a number of things. But we, at the start of this thing, we weren't sure what we had. And as the day progressed, we realized that there could be more to this. And we started in that. Remember, it was a search and rescue mission the first few hours. And we...
Okay, that's what I want. One of the other things I wanted to bring out. It was a search and rescue the first few hours. We knew that. We've watched the film. We've seen them all milling around. And that is what should have happened. In fact, I think it should have gone on for days and days. He called an end to it. Again, I have no issue with discussing Sheriff Nanos's decision-making. That's a big deal. That's a big difference, I mean, from discussing facts within the case when an ongoing investigation that you're working on. That's all I'm saying. But he says for the first couple hours, that's all he says, that they searched. So, you know, there's been a lot of discussion. How long did they search? I know I have another clip where he says they searched clear into the night. We don't really know. But he said it was a search and rescue mission the first couple hours.
Transitioned that over to a criminal investigation. With that, brought in our partners from the FBI and others.
Have you heard from President Trump?
Who put that up there about the FBI agents? You got to watch their faces. It's so great. I'm telling you, having been a part of these press conferences, it is, you know, the Bureau's stance is to just be quiet. You know, and so it's hard for them to watch. Like, you know, watch their body language. Watch them putting their head down. Anyway.
And really opening access to that property to everyone else. Was that something you would do differently looking back, knowing that, you know, federal authorities also conducted a search yesterday? Would you have kept that perimeter up knowing that?
You know, Monday morning quarterback, I probably would have, but I'll say this. We processed the scene. We got what we thought was complete. My team did that. I have to have all the faith and trust in their abilities and their skills, and I think they went through that pretty well. But because another agency now steps in and wants to assist, if they, we're just like with you, we're an open book. Absolutely. How can we help? One of the things people don't see, I heard your question about, you know, and we left and then others could walk up. You know, when we process a scene and we're done, we return that scene to the, in this case, the homeowners, the family. And we don't just go march back in there. We call the family again and get permissions to go back to the home. So, yeah, there's, again, Monday morning quarterback, absolutely. I probably could have held off on that. We knew that the FBI... we've worked with them before in a lot of cases, and we felt like they could be of help in this with particularly the forensic analysis we use in a number of things. But we, at the start of this thing, we weren't sure what we had. And as the day progressed, we realized that there could be more to this. And we started in that. Remember, it was a search and rescue mission the first few hours. And we transitioned that over to a criminal investigation. With that, brought in our partners from the FBI and others.
Have you heard from President Trump?
So anyway, I just wanted to play that for you, so you could understand at least what he has to say about the search. I wanted you to see the reflections of the folks in the background. He's been elected twice, just so everybody knows, and he says in 3 years he has to run again. So anyway, let me bring this up on stage.
We do a state judge. We have.
Okay, this is him talking about his relationship.
What do you want to say to, what? How do you respond to this report that says that you are not working with the FBI and holding back evidence?
Yeah. I've said from the beginning, and actually even at our last press conference, the FBI and the Pima County Sheriff's Department are connected at the hip. That has not changed. Decisions are made sometimes with a good discussion about why things need to go one way or the other. In this instance, it really was about, and it's not just this. We're gonna use a judge for a search warrant. Do we do a federal judge or do we do a state judge? We have a discussion. What's the best way to do that? And decisions are made. They're really not my decisions. They are our team's decisions. They get together and they talk about what they think is best. In this case of blocking evidence from the FBI, that's just so far from the truth. What happens is we processed our crime scene, took all of our evidence. That morning, it wasn't days later that we contacted that morning we contacted the FBI. We said, hey, we've got some digital analysis that you guys could really help with. They said, sure, whatever you want. We gave that.
Okay. This is important to me because I did not recall this. I did not recall that Pima County, Sheriff Nanos, he says that he gave the FBI the digital information on the 2nd. Right away, in other words, they got it the first when they did their crime scene investigation, and they gave it on the 2nd. That isn't what Kash Patel said, remember? Kash Patel said 4 days before we got involved. So, you know, that is interesting. That's interesting. So that doesn't, those aren't jiving now.
The rest of the evidence we sent to our lab. This is a lab we've been using for 30, 40 years now. They may be in Florida. Maybe they were in Phoenix at the time we got them. I don't know that. But this lab is, again, so many corporate companies have come to us and said, Sheriff, tell us what you need, pro bono. They're not charging us anything. Mm-hmm. So the $200,000, I've not a clue. Hmm. But what I would tell you is this. The FBI and us sit down at tables and we discuss things. Hey, I've got...
I just have to comment on that because whenever you work in a task force setting, that's exactly what you do. I've talked about what an honor it has always been to work with local departments, and it always has been a real honor. And normally the ground agents all get along really well. It's at the top sometimes you see that they don't get along. But again, I'm just pointing out the facts that we have, right? So the facts we have are Sheriff Nano says FBI got that evidence on the 2nd. Kash Patel says we weren't involved till the 4th day. You all make your decision based on those that information.
This mission up in Rio Rico, we've got a search warrant. Who should we do? State, we've got a SWAT team. You want our SWAT team, their SWAT team. There's no egos there.
And that usually does happen. when you're discussing, if you know, HRT purportedly came in on the first one, and then maybe you say, oh my God, the Bureau says, I mean, it costs hundreds of thousands to send the HRT in. I say hundreds of thousands. They have to have their plane. They have to, if somebody can't make the flight, then you fly them in. You have to have per diem for everybody. You have to have hotels for everybody on the team that's reporting to do this. It's a lot. I shouldn't say hundreds of thousands. I don't know if I know the exact price tag. Let's just be conservative. Thousands and thousands of dollars. So those discussions are had. I've been involved in them. You decide what's the best resources. Does Pima County have a capable SWAT team? Does the FBI, Phoenix has a SWAT team, Phoenix FBI. So did they come in? I was shocked to hear HRT came in, but that's what was reported. Shocked because I know what that means. I've worked multiple assignments with HRT, both in training and real assignments. The biggest one was in San Juan when we did this huge takedown. Trained with them. That's who taught me SWAT at my SWAT school that I went to. So, and these guys, when they deploy, it's a big deal. And it's usually in a case involving really, really bad characters. So I was surprised when it was reported that HRT was there. But nevertheless, he's just getting the point across. He's trying to say they worked well. You've all seen me show the other clip where he talks years earlier, though, just about how angry he is with the FBI. So I just can't imagine there's still not some residual left.
We sit and discuss what's the best option. The DNA, if you had, God forbid, something happened in your home, we're going to go and process it. We're going to take markers and get profiles on what we believe could have DNA. But we're also going to take buccal swabs of you and your family and your friends that have been there to eliminate, right? So in this case, all of that evidence, day one, went to our lab. We now come back 10 days further, there's gloves found. So FBI says, okay, so should we send them to the FBI lab? I said, no, let's send it all to our lab, because why would you want to have evidence over here and all the markers, if you will, for elimination over here? It's just adding a step to it. Let's just keep it all in one place. Our lab does good work. Their lab does good work. They both are capable. Let's just to eliminate that.
So I just wanted to comment on that. As I've said from the beginning, that essentially that was the reason he said that he sent it to his lab. He said it was done pro bono. He says that twice. I found two recordings where he says that twice in two different times. It was pro bono. It was free. They didn't charge them anything, meaning Pima County, because normally with the labs, the locals have to pay. Obviously, with the FBI lab, it's free, meaning taxpayers pay for it. So there's no charge. And so he tried to make the point a couple of times in two different interviews that I personally saw. It was pro bono, he said, and there would be no charge, he said. And so, it may, in other words, he tries to use that as one of the reasons why he sent it to his lab as opposed to the FBI, even though that really doesn't make any sense. I think he was just trying to point out, hey, listen, neither of them cost anything. So because neither of them cost anything and they're both capable and we've had our relationship with this lab for decades, we're going to keep it. And we're going to do it. And then later he says, of course, that after other evidence was obtained, that they wanted it to go to the same lab because they already had the DNA to compare against. And that part made sense to me. I've talked a lot about that. The part that the FBI has come out and now that lab transferring everything about a couple of weeks ago, it's probably not quite been that long. 80 days, I think, around 80 days. What happened there, everyone, that was problematic because now they're saying they didn't have the expertise, but the FBI lab did have the expertise. And that is bothersome. And the FBI statement which they haven't given many statements, but they said, we asked for the DNA from day one. We just now got it. It's not new DNA. And we've always had the expertise. That, my friends, that was a pretty big deal, I think. I wanted to, first of all, let me get Nancy up on here. I always hate being up on screen. This show is not about anything other than Nancy Guthrie. I did want to go to a comment that I saw come up here while I was watching. And I try to always be careful. These shows are not personal, meaning I have nothing personal against anyone. I just have a show about facts. Person does something A, person does something B, here's the facts involved. Do I take, sometimes we've talked about this, the totality of the information we've gleaned and make assessments? For sure, that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm not a reporter, I'm an analyst based on experience. But I saw something up here that really concerned me, and everything flew by so fast. Here it is. Here it is. First of all, Mama Cross, I am very sorry. And I'm certainly sorry that you would be disappointed in me. And I'm sorry, but I don't consider this a besmirchment of your son. What I consider this is, I don't believe that if you are actively in a department that has a case under investigation, if you want to come out and talk badly about the leader or about decisions made, I don't understand it. But when you start getting into the facts, when you start giving people facts based on hearsay on an ongoing investigation, I don't understand that, Mama Cross. So this is nothing personal against your son. I have never met with him, nor have I ever spoke with him. My comments are strictly based on his words, not on my words, on his words that he said. And my belief that when you have an ongoing investigation, you will never see an FBI agent working this case or even assigned to Phoenix, but working white collar, talk about what their buddy that's working on the task force says about this case. You will never see that. And so I'm speaking from that lens. This is nothing personal against your son. If I have something wrong in this, he's welcome to DM me and we can talk offline. Like I said, typically the people I interview, I do not like to interview the people that have any like this or even hearsay. I don't get into that because I think that hurts the case. It would be going against everything I've ever asked people to do when I conducted a case or was involved in a case. I have victim families on a lot so they can shed to people, this is what my son or daughter was like. This is what it's all about. Please use your platform to get their name out there. They're missing. They've been murdered. Please help keep things alive. I have those people on all the time, and they sometimes are closely related to cases. But I don't put on individuals that are sources. I call them sources because they're providing information related to ongoing cases. I just don't put those on. That's just my belief. That's how I conduct my platform. But I just wanted to tell you, Mama Cross, Miss Cross, this is absolutely nothing personal against your son. This is something from an investigative lens that I don't agree with. And so because this channel isn't about personal, it's about facts and it's about what that can do to an investigation. So that's what I brought up. But I am truly sorry. I don't feel I've besmirched him. I feel like he made a decision that I don't think is helpful to the Nancy Guthrie case. All right. Let's see. Yeah, I mean, these are some good. Yeah, and I agree with you. It might not even be the mom If it is, though, I will make that statement because that to me is a broader sense of what this channel is all about. We are very, very much about facts and not feelings, in a sense. Show me the facts and let us follow down the road. So let me see if there's any other, any things I missed. Let's see. Looking up besmirched. I know. Let me just look. I want to put up anything that's negative, that's been said negative, because I do like to always consider both ways. Let's see. Here's one that's not negative. It's just making a point. Cross is the union president. He is. And he's supposed to speak out on matters of public concern. He is. And I am all for it. This, to me, isn't about that. Like I said, it's getting into the nuts and bolts of information regarding what the family said at the time, Tommy and Annie, what their belief was, facts of the case. He says this is an investigation he did today. At the time of this, I'm going to play it again.
It's hard to blame the searchers because the family.
No one's blaming the searchers. That's my opinion. I think he is saying that they're blaming the searchers. I've never heard anybody blame the searchers. I think the only thing being said about with the searchers is why did Sheriff Nanos call him off on day two? That is a huge mistake.
He was pretty insistent that this was a walk away as well.
They were insistent that she was a walk away? I don't think they were insistent of that. That's not anything that I can corroborate or that I've heard factually. But then let's listen to where he gets this from.
And so they were doing what they were trained to do and searching, looking for Nancy. And I believe it got to the point where once they didn't find her in the area, combined with the blood on the stoop.
So he's talking about investigative that decisions were made and why and when.
That's when it's everybody kind of decided, all right, we have something else here.
So see, what I heard was the opposite, that the family was pushing them to say, look, it's not a walk away. And that the investigators in the very beginning were considering it a walk away, but the family was having to remind them over and over again, like, no, you know, she wouldn't just walk away. She's in bad health and she doesn't have cognitive issues.
And just think about that. Think of what Brian is saying that he's heard as opposed to what Cross is saying. What makes sense? Does it make sense that a family would be saying she walked away and she's somewhere, you know, out in the desert or something? In other words, that she walked a great distance away, that she walk away, somebody that you're searching for 2 hours. How far could Nancy Guthrie walk in 2 hours? Everything I have heard Savannah Guthrie say is she could walk to the mailbox and that was on a good day. And meanwhile, what the family was pushing was she had no cognitive decline. If you listen to the first press conference, they talk all about that. No cognitive decline. We don't think she walked away. We don't think she was a walk away. But again, they did the search for dual reasons. That's my belief. And they should have to look for evidence, to look for her, because it doesn't just mean she walked away. It could mean that whoever took her dumped her someplace close.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, that's not the information that I gathered today.
That's not the information he gathered today. Okay.
What did you, if you don't mind explaining a little more, what did you hear today?
Just that the family believed that she was out there, you know, that she'd walked away.
Right. And just in the very beginning?
Correct.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah, that's a new development. That's different than what we've heard in the past. And
again, I don't want to beat a dead horse because I might be beating a dead horse. I'm just disappointed. I'm disappointed with all these sources and people who are with the department that were punished. And I'm not saying that they are wrong or right. I'm saying file suit, file your grievance, do the right thing. But why was he punished before? We don't even know. I just know somebody capable of coming out as a current member of the police organization that has an active investigation and providing hearsay, all of that is confounding to me. It is. And like I said, the minute an FBI agent that's currently working at the FBI comes out and does something like that, that guy's going to be fired, and he should be. All right. Checking out a couple of, yes, there were fluids at the front door. Again, Savannah Guthrie came out and said very early on, they believed in telephone. So Savannah was on the phone to her brother before he got there and describing everything. And her brother said he thinks she's been kidnapped. So anyway, let's see. It is Mother's Day tomorrow, everyone, which is so exciting for everybody who's a mother. But I think it will be very, very difficult, obviously, for not only the Guthrie family, but for all family who are missing their moms, all family who have lost their moms, all families who have no idea where their mothers are at. There's so many cases that we follow. And so, you know, very, very difficult time for those. But for all of you who will be celebrating, I can't wait to celebrate with my family. We have a day of volleyball, beach volleyball, and great food. And so I'm really, really excited about that. I hope that we can try to stay as much focused on Nancy Guthrie as we possibly can. I think it's really important to stay focused on Porch Guy and any new information to keep the story out there. I think is critically important. Because if we don't keep the story out there, it will become, I assure you, just like Sebastian Rogers, where nobody, half the people probably in chat don't even know who I'm talking about when I say Sebastian Rogers. So yes, you know, new allegations said today or yesterday in terms of what was being done, decisions that were made, and that they were based on the family's viewpoint that she was a walk away. You guys have all the facts now. You've seen both sides. I put up all the videos. I will cross-reference the other videos that I used to prepare for this, the day one video as well. And we will keep on it. Anything I hear going on that has any credence at all, I'll bring up, because I always get questions. People DM me, or they on my X, they say, hey, what about this? What about this? For instance, there was a bone that was found that was apparently, interestingly enough, part of an archaeological dig. So it was literally like an old bone, like a prehistoric. I don't know how prehistoric. I think I read prehistoric. I think I read those words, but an old archaeological dig, and a bone was found 7 miles away. So, you know, when I hear that, I'll look into it for you. And it was completely unrelated, obviously. So no matter how, unless it's completely wackadoodle, and I see wackadoodle stuff all the time, unless it's absolutely completely out there, I'll be talking about various things I hear and learn, how it might affect the case. I recently was contacted yesterday, I believe, about this very issue to do with this interview, and, you know, talked about that a little bit. So anyway, we'll always come out and talk about what's happening and what is the effect on Nancy's case. And again, we always just want to have full disclosure of what's going on in the case, and keeping the case in the limelight, of course. Oh, let me put this up here because this was kind of a comment I was looking for to kind of a, oh, that's okay. I'm glad I put this up. Happy Mother's Day to all and God bless. But there was another one I wanted to put up. Oh, yeah. See, a lot of people, you have to, when I see something negative, I look to the side, and I know my mods are great at doing this, and I know you all in chat, you double check that name with whatever. And you know, sometimes there's just trolls that come on and they just kind of want to see what they can say negative, and it's okay. This is the one I wanted to put up. Jen, this is from Rose Broccoli. Jen, I trust Sergeant Cross way more than Nanos. All deputies are dissatisfied with the non-leadership. You should really not disparage what he says. He got the trust of 100% of the deputies. So definitely it's true that the union had a 100% no confidence vote, but I want to point out that over 60 abstained from voting. So I just want to make that clear for facts. Right. So it was 100% of those that chose to vote, but over 60 didn't vote. Just to keep that in mind, Rose. Secondarily, I'm not saying that I trust what Sergeant Cross says more than what Nano says or the other way around. I'm saying that I think as a current Pima County Sheriff's Officer, you have no business using hearsay to make a point about facts that came out in an investigation. That's all I'm saying. And that's a hard and fast rule for me. All right. Everyone, you all have been amazing. To all my mamas, I wish you the most beautiful day, whatever it is that you normally do. I just wish you the best. If you came in late, I really hope that you can take a look at this. And because I go through, even though it's hard for me to see everything here, I always like to go through the comments and read them. I try to read every one of them. I'm not saying I'm able to accomplish that, but I really try. So if you put them up there, I'd love to hear back, particularly on this comment, on this, what we, our overall message was here. And everyone, I think so much of you, to the mods, you're great. Chat, there's just no better chat. You guys are so smart. I love that our mods, we definitely, they know and understand that we want to freedom of speech type platform. We want people to be able to air an opinion, but airing an opinion is a lot different from bashing. So we're not into bashing. We try to keep it pretty professional on this channel, but there's a lot of other channels where you can go in and you can be really unprofessional. It's just not kind of our community here. And we love our community. So anyway, thank y'all. Y'all are the best. Blessed Mother's Day to y'all. Until next time, may justice be served for the Guthrie family and for all those missing.